the terms and, you know, the terminology for everything is so complex. It's almost legalese to even figure out who to vote for and what they stand for. So it's definitely by design, and it definitely needs to be simplified. But I think at this point, it's a little bigger than that. I think we're actually in a place where it's conditioned now. We're actually conditioned to not care about it. You know what I'm saying? And then it being complex makes it even more difficult to get passionate about caring for it. But I, at this point, I think I would almost say they got us where they wanted us.
Comrades, welcome to another episode of Nah, Not All Hood. Now, I've been following Yellow Pain on social media for many years. To me, he's one of hip-hop's unsung voices, whose discography is filled with thought-provoking wake-up calls, from addiction to contradiction of organized religion to infidelity. I mean, mainstream gatekeepers just don't know what to do with this brother. His 2020 music video, My Vote Don't Count, where he educates folks on how the three branches of government actually work, will forever be a timeless classic. In this episode, we discuss the idea of moving back to Africa, the voting dilemma in the black community, and the consequences of only focusing on presidential elections and not local elections. Enjoy the conversation.
It just follows families who return back home. They find their roots. You see them selecting homes in Ghana and different parts of the world, and how they're making out, how they respond to the government, how they respond to their communities, which, you know, one family moves into a very suburban community that feels very American. It's not what they expected. They expected an African, I'm black experience. Wherever they picked, it wasn't what they imagined. So it's interesting to see how it played out when they packed up everything, shut down their businesses, and took it abroad.
Did they have buyer's remorse?
You know what? I think I saw a lot of that. I mean, I've watched a few episodes. It was definitely different. I mean, coming off the plane and I'm not sure, have you been to Africa? Mm-hmm. And you have to? So, you know, I went to Ghana. You get that welcome and you're like, well, even from the plane on, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, wow, everybody's black and they've got kente cloth on. Mm-hmm. All the flight attendants, this is something. Then you get off and you're like, oh my gosh, everybody loves me. Yeah. Like, it is extraordinary. Yeah. You have no doubt. Yeah. And they're like, welcome home, right? Yeah, you all got that. I know some of that's a little bit of marketing, mm-hmm. but that definitely was like, oh, they got me.
Yeah.
So you saw all of that, but then you also saw the transition of, oh, okay, now I'm paying this mortgage or I'm paying this rent and, you know, how am I getting around? I know my choices are different or I'm missing this food. The kitchens didn't look like the kitchens that we had. Mm-hmm. Communities that they had imagined didn't look like what they imagined. So it was very, very different. I just remember going over there and thinking, fewer options. That's what I remember. It might be different now. I went back in 1992 was when the last time I was there. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot has changed. So mm-hmm. was your experience, what was it like?
I seen a bit of both sides. The people that I went over there with were already relatively wealthy people. So I was more in those environments. But right outside of it, I seen the extreme poverty, you know what I'm saying? But that level of hospitality kind of blew my mind when I was over there. It was never on any front, like, it was not hospitality. It was never that, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, it was love.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. Really
opening it's building a lot. I don't know, you know, like you said, you ain't been there in a long time, but they're constantly building out there. Like, it's so much open real estate, new communities being built up. So I think in the next, you know, can't necessarily guess, but I would say in the next 10 years, it's probably going to be a whole lot more, you know, civilization than it is too.
Even more popping than Ghana is now?
Yeah.
Because Ghana, I mean, you know, I always hear Ghana's popping.
Yeah. They're constantly building out there. It's a lot of half-built communities that we went to because the person that I went out there, they started a security company where they're doing, like, solar power security cameras. So we, like, went to a lot of different establishing developments, you know what I'm saying? And it's a lot of them. Yeah.
Have you ever found yourself saying, you know what, because of this political situation, I might spend some time abroad? Or do you hear that a lot from people who just say, you know what, let me take it back home. It's got to be better than this.
You know, I guess I kind of, in my mind, got to start with home first, you know what I'm saying? And then build out, because it's, you know, I'm from Dayton, Ohio, you know what I'm saying? It's not a lot of opportunity there, and I come from a lot of people who don't have a lot of things. So, you know, that's like my primary focus. And then, of course, you know, we could always take it abroad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with the, like, with what's happening in politics.
Yeah.
And the way the world is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever see yourself leaving?
Right. I'll leave in the country.
Yeah.
Because
everybody always talks about it.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Africa.
I mean, I would say, I would do it anyway, just to like have a place out there as well as a place here. But permanently evacuating America, that would take some. It would have to be America's economy is so crazy that I'm running out of, like, I have to get out of here. Not, I don't think I would just, no.
Eggs would have to be $50, right?
Yeah. For that. Not even just economically, but just like from a safety standpoint, almost at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Chaos.
Yeah.
Getting out of the chaos. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is interesting because some people would say, aren't we in? So I'm just saying, you know what I mean?
How bad is the chaos?
But different
right.
people's chaos.
Right. It only takes one time to die, right?
You know? Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. That is very true.
Yeah. But I think about like Frederick Douglass,
mm-hmm.
You know, the whole Liberia movement, you know, back then where, you know, there were two factions. There were people who were like, you know, why stay here in America when we can go to Liberia? Because mm-hmm. that's where they're open to having us there. And mm-hmm. there's always been this American Liberia relationship. Mm-hmm. And then there were people who were of, you know, Frederick Douglass elk, who was like, no, this is my home. You know, I'm staying here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to go out. We stay here and fight and make the changes that need to be made here. There's always that, you know, so I think about that.
Yeah, yeah. It's both sides. Like I got a homie and he was doing some work with the with some banks and I think in South Africa, and they was asking him what tribe do he identify with. He like, hey, I'm from Detroit. You feel me? Like he came in the hood like the whole time, like, I'm from Detroit. You know what I'm saying? Like, but they love him there, and they love him that he's authentically himself. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, that's we gotta make sure we always do remember we are Black Americans. Regardless of the lineage or where it come from, you know what I'm saying? We can have pride in where we are as well as where we come from.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because so much of what we've created and exactly. what people
we created culture.
Here.
The whole world loves Black American culture.
That's
like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Africa loves Black American culture. Asia loves Black America. Like, we built something that's like, that can't even be duplicated. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we got to take pride in it. You
sure.
know?
Everybody loves Black American culture, but nobody wants to be Black American. There's that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
There is.
I really love your take on voting.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, and even back, you know, because I've been following you, you know, more than 4 years.
Mm.
So even your video about you know, getting people to understand the different branches of government and addressing people who don't want to vote because they feel like, you know, their vote doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here now in 2025 mm-hmm. and we're going to start seeing, and we've started a little bit seeing the result of what happens when you don't use your power to vote. And so I would love for you to just kind of expound upon how, you know, waiting to vote every 4 years, you know, you're kind of late in the game if you're only voting in the presidential.
I think it's funny because I think they're starting to get it now. Like
now.
the reason why I say that is because, like, you know, I've been in a political space since like 2020. And in 2020, when I first, or late 2019, when I first learned about the importance of voting, the biggest conversation was people wait every 4 years and they don't vote every 2 years. Whoop-de-whoop. Came this recent election, you know, we was in the extreme fire drill, you know what I'm saying? You know, as far as Kamala getting on last minute and, you know, all this different stuff, you could see everybody scrambling, trying to figure out on both parties, you know what I'm saying? Like, how they was going to win this election or whatever. 2025 is the first time, I think, probably January, I'm getting calls about like, hey, we want you to do this political rally and da-da-da. Hey, we like, oh, y'all get it now. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all get it. Like, I don't think they fully get it, but I think the conversation is starting to change and we starting to understand that, hey, this can be a fire drill every time. You know what I mean? But my take on the whole thing, you know, like with me, I started not even understanding politics to any capacity. So I understand why the both sides. Like, I understand the side of the people who feel like, you know, voting doesn't matter. And I understand the side of the people who feel like we have to vote. You know what I mean? And I think that's why I can speak both languages, speak to the people who don't believe in a system and the people who do believe in a system. Because the people who don't believe in a system, right, a lot of times you got to think that a lot of this goes back to the political propaganda in itself. What are politicians promoting? What are they telling people they're going to do for them? And a lot of it, majority of it, to get people to even care, because most people care about their financial situation, right? So the whole marketing strategy for a politician is somebody's pockets. You feel me? If you could get somebody to feel like they're going to get more in their pockets, then they, you know what I'm saying? Then you got them. So that's where the average American's understanding of what politics even is. It's like somebody's going to get, whether it's the mayor or the president, somebody's going to get in this office and they're going to get either give me more money or lose me more money. You know what I'm saying? And they don't really. And so if you're not going to vote, it's probably because you like, listen, they ain't never got me no money before anyway. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't never had a president come in and then they was just like, hey, we offering jobs to 10 million black people, you know, hurry up down here. Like, so their minds are so disconnected from the political system. But I think that's the big problem is in the education system, is in people that's not running for office, right? To inform people that politics is not all about economics, right? Because when you got like agricultural commissioners that's deciding the food safety and you got, you know, the school board that's, you know, controlling what the kids is learning in class and what they can and can't eat in the cafeteria. It's like, oh, you know what I'm saying? You know, you might have your kid coming home not really learning much and you frustrated, but it's like you didn't even vote. You know what I'm saying? So It's like we got to really look at what the whole government is and not just like how much money we going to get, because a lot of people extremely discouraged specifically because of economics, and it's bigger than that.
Yeah, you know, one of the best explanations that I've heard from someone as to why they didn't continue to vote is because they said, you know what, I voted last election. It's been 4 years. And I looked out my window. It looks the exact same. Mm-hmm. That nothing has changed. It's the same people who don't have jobs. It's the same crime rate. It's the same neighborhood. Everything looks the same. And I thought, wow, you do expect to see some type of change. That's expectation. But sometimes the change comes in different ways that you might not see if you look outside your window.
Exactly. It's because it's like, are you looking outside your window, but are you turning on the TV? You know what I'm saying? It's like just that simple. When you turn on the water faucet, like everything go back to the government. When they pick up the trash, that's government. Like, you can't literally live without government, because everything from if you allow to have this table in front of you right now comes back to some form of a law, whether it's a freedom or whatever it is. So when you look at everything as government, it makes you more so, okay, what matters to me? You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, that's what got me into voting. You know what I'm saying? When I was like, you know, because I had a cousin, I was running for Congress, and she actually came out and asked me, can you make a song about voting? And I was like, no, you know what I mean? But then she was like, why don't you feel voting is important? I gave her the same rhetoric that I give, that everybody gives us. Man, I voted for this person and nothing happened. And she's like, well, what's some stuff you would like to see change? And I started to name it. I was talking about people that's getting long prison sentences and all that. She's like, well, you know, and she just started to break it all down to who is in charge of this and that. And then I had a wake-up moment that I feel like so many people will have if they had that conversation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they don't have that conversation. It's a wake-up moment where you like, hey, the only way we gonna actually make real change is participating in the system that creates the laws, which is the government. We have to vote. We have to We have to do it. It's like it, you could not want to, but your only, I think somebody's only reason for not wanting to vote would be because they genuinely don't believe that it's important. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because once you realize that it's kind of the way of life, like we live in a democracy, you can't not do it for real. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or you're going to be affected in ways, you know, like the abortion laws getting in. People like, oh, well, look, you did it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Or you did.
You did. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And the focus being on our local elections.
Right? Yeah.
Because the, you know, we look at, well, you know, what the president's doing, you know, it's not really, you know, he's not really looking out for my community.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the president's job actually is not to look out for your community.
Just look out for the military.
Right.
You know, like, we're not even talking about the commander in chief of the military right now, talking about, you know what I'm saying, like, your community. It's like, you might want to go holler at the city council for that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You might want to go to have one of the meetings, you know what I'm saying? Sit at one of the meetings and say, excuse me, yeah, I voted back in November. So, da 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 da. I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could talk, you can't never call the president. You feel
right.
me? You know what I'm saying?
You can't get a meeting.
You can't get a meeting. You could, they got free meetings. You could go sit down and talk to them about whatever you got going on. You know what
I'm
saying?
That's a really good point in that. There are a lot of people who are around you physically in your community who you can actually go to their neighborhood and say hello. I know, you know, where I live, when I moved to the area, there was the mayor of the town looked up everybody who had bought a home and invited them over to his house.
Yeah, a big house to do that.
In a small town.
Well, it was a small town. Okay. There are about five of us. I'm sure a lot, some of that was politicking. But
right,
it was good
for sure.
to at least know, oh, you are reachable.
Yeah.
You know, that was a nice open door to know. But that's the same way with, you know, the school board. Like you said, you can go. You don't have to look at it online.
Yeah.
You can go. You can raise your hand. You can speak to everybody. You can run for school board.
Exactly.
Right? Right. You know, that's how a lot of politicians get started. The local council, the school board. That's a way to just even get involved and get your feet wet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that kind of exposure for people to, you know, to really understand that. But it also takes a lot, of work. It's a lot of time investment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you got to put the time in to go to a school board meeting.
You do.
You got to put the time in to, you know, to go to a council person's meeting. And I think there are a lot of people feel like they don't have that kind of time because everybody's living trying to make ends meet. But the effort, I think a lot of us, one, aren't making the effort because of the time, because of not realizing how accessible these local politicians are, and also realizing the importance of really focusing on our local politicians who are the ones affecting our communities more so than the president.
Yeah.
Comrades, if you're enjoying this episode, join the conversation and make sure to like, subscribe, and comment below.
So it's really a big part of it is about the exposure.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like people not necessarily knowing that they have that kind of access.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like I was saying, I think it comes down to the knowing all of the time, right? Because it's so easy to say that people don't care because they're not showing up. But we can't call people lazy for not showing up when they don't even know that it's something to show up to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you did the first song because your cousin asked you to, because he was running, what made you continue the message? What was your drive to continue the path you're on?
Just honestly, when I first made the song, I didn't even, I understood the sentiment, but I didn't necessarily understand. Let's say this. I was passionate about the song subject matter, right? But there was still that 18-year-old boy in me that felt like maybe it don't really matter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the more that the song started to grow legs, I noticed how many people that was just like my cousin, that was in government, that knew how the system worked, that was like, yes, thank you so much. You know what I mean? They needed that because they know exactly how important it is. They know that programs is getting shut down and people losing funding. You know what I'm saying? It's like whole programs that was helping my community that got shut down because they lost state level funding. You know what I mean? You got so much different things in a community that's getting reversed and turned around. And you got people that's just wishing that people would just show up. And like, if y'all show up, things could change. If y'all show up, our community could be better. If y'all show up, this will help me so much. You know what I'm saying? But they not showing up and things is getting reversed. And now I'm seeing all of these people come to me like, please, you the voice. We need you. And I realized like, damn, this is big, way bigger than a song. You know what I'm saying? This is way bigger than me. This is actually our way of life. And the thing is, the people, the politicians, they can't express it the way I do. Why? Because the people who show up to vote don't look like them. You know what I'm saying? The ones that actually care about, you know, the stuff that they talking about, right? If somebody say, I want to help the hood out, right? You have the people that's voting don't care if the hood get helped out. You actually disrespecting their reason for voting in the first place by passionately saying, I want to do something for these people. The second you say that, you're losing votes. So they can't come out here sounding radical. You know what I'm saying? They can't come out here saying, I want to do this, this, and this. The second that they start doing that, they're losing all of the guaranteed voters. And I'm not talking about the president. Of course, they have to pander to black people. You know what I'm saying? Because people show up for presidential elections. I'm talking about the state reps. I'm talking about the Congress. I'm talking about even the mayors, even the, you know what I'm saying, the judges. You know what I mean? These people, agricultural commissioners, let an agricultural commission. When a time have you ever heard a black person say, I'm about to go vote for the agricultural commissioner? Never. You know what I'm saying? Like, even after I made the song, it took me probably like 2 more years before I even heard of that. You know what I'm saying? So that just lets you know that that's somebody who, you know what I'm saying, is over food safety and might actually want to do something for the black community, but let them get passionate about it and see how many people show up to vote for them. They'll lose their spot in a heartbeat. You know what I'm saying? You got to think at the end of the day, as a politician, that is a paid job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're talking about somebody's actual livelihood, how they feed their family. You can't, you really can't expect them to be so radical for you and you not showing up to vote for them. You know what I'm saying?
So you think it's somewhat by design to have people not... people to be too distracted?
Of course, it's some by design. That you know, like even when you look back to the literacy test back when we first was even trying to vote, and now, you know, it's even the terms and, you know, the terminology for everything is so complex. It's almost legalese to even figure out who to vote for and what they stand for. So it's definitely by design, and it definitely needs to be simplified. But I think at this point, it's a little bigger than that. I think we're actually in a place where it's conditioned now. We're actually conditioned to not care about it. You know what I'm saying? And then it being complex makes it even more difficult to get passionate about caring for it. But I at this point, I think I would almost say they got us where they wanted us.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
So when you were 17, that mindset that you're talking about, the propaganda that you talked about, that you were fed, where did that come from? I mean, I know social media, but just even growing up, where did that come from and how did it affect you? How do you think they got you to that point where you weren't interested in voting?
Honestly, I don't even think at that age, politics was even a conversation as much. It didn't really become a real conversation in my life until Obama was running for president. You know what I mean? And I was around the age where I was just able to vote. And that's when I first was ever like fully force fed, like, you got to vote. Before that, my family wasn't, you know what I'm saying? My pops, he was Muslim, you know, like a lot of them, they're like, the white man is the devil. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of, so my mind, I never was even like in the political space ever. I didn't have a preconceived understanding of it as much as I just didn't have anything. Like I had a clean slate. Like I could care less. It didn't matter. You know what I mean? But once the presidential propaganda around Obama came, that's when I was like, we got to go. I waited in line for hours. You know what I'm saying? I was out there feeling good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where it came from at that age. It just, you know, the news, the conversation, that was it. Yeah.
Social media, where is that in terms of propaganda and how you get people to believe or understand what is true, what isn't true? Because that's hard to decipher for anybody.
Yeah.
Especially in the world of AI.
At the time, you know, when Obama was running, social media was present for sure, but it wasn't like it is now. I think now it's so much, you know, it can be almost overbearing. How do we circumvent that? I think first off, we have to connect with people outside of the internet. You know, as much as it's important, you know, like that's why I said I'm building out this thing called Yellow University, where it's a whole program for kids to learn, you know, how the voting system works and actually get into these kids on a personal level in their schools, in their homes, before they get on there and start scrolling. And of course, they'll see certain content that drives them to it, but like actually getting them, their actual learning process should be some of the more foundational things that are vital to the outcome of our community. You know what I'm saying? So actually in the school, you know what I'm saying? Actually in the school, them having access to the information about how the government is ran. You know what I mean? So then if they know, once they get on the internet, they'll know, they'll be able to decipher like, oh, that's not real. You know, I just learned that da-da-da is da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? But if they're not learning that and then they go into the internet and that's their first time seeing this information, of course they're going to believe anything. Yeah.
It's funny because I think about voter apathy being part of voter suppression, mm-hmm. you know, being one of the tactics. And I can just, you know, as this episode's going, I can already see comments in the comment section.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
still saying, well, you know, voting doesn't really matter. You're just talking, yeah. you know. I mean, how do you impassion people?
And listen, I would never give up on my people, right? I would never, ever give up. I will argue until I'm blue in the face with anybody on any given day about the importance of voting. However, you have to understand that, you know, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. You know what I'm saying? It's that same concept of it's very difficult. And if I get a few, I have, you know, I've got 30-year-old voters for the first time, when I, you know, and plus, you know, I appreciate it. Nonetheless, there are a big group of people like myself who didn't get that education, who are passionately arguing on the opposite side. Yeah. Why? Because they don't know. Yeah. And it feels like they know, because if you have the conversation with them, what are they going to do? Well, such and such, I get my money. Tell me when they're going to talk about money. They don't even understand the system. To get them to understand the system, it's going to take a real one-on-one sit-down conversation, showing laws, showing this year this was reversed. That's a lot. You know what I mean? And it can be done with individual people. Nonetheless, I really think to really change the future of politics, the future of America, is children are the future. That's always been a thing. It's going to be difficult to get people impassioned that are already discouraged. These kids not discouraged. They don't know nor care. Let's put the passion in them. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, we know it's in the bloodline. You know what I'm saying? We know that 2020 was the biggest voter turnout in 120 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know that those kids was out there, you know, voting like crazy. We know that there was marching, there was protesting. Why? Because the fire was lit in them. They had passion. These are still the children's children of Martin Luther King. We still us. You know what I mean? And even if it looked like they don't care, it's not that they don't care. It's just they don't know what to care for. And the second that we teach them at a foundational level, they're going to be back out there. We're going to get new Martin Luther Kings. We're going to get, you know what I'm saying? We're going to get them people. But we trying to turn, you know what I'm saying, future into Martin Luther King is going to be very difficult. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I get the sense right now that we are in the time where people are really lit up. And I'm not saying it'll be easier to get them out to the midterms, but I think people are really thinking about it now more than ever, more than ever. Because when you walk outside, when you least expect it, you know, you are interrupted. I know I have been by the things that have changed with just in a few days.
Yeah. And the thing is, and I don't mean to, you know, be any form of pessimistic about that, but the reason why I think it comes down to education is because it's the same thing where they say, you know, discipline is more important than motivation, right? You know, we get times like 2020 is a great example, you know what I'm saying? And Barack Obama's presidency is a great example where people, you know, they have these, whatever happened on social media, whatever happened in the real world that made them say, I'm about to go vote. This is it, you know, and they go do it and then they don't do it again. The people who are going to continue to vote are the people who understand what they're even doing it for. Because if they knew that I have to do this, this is my duty as a human being, as an American, then they're going to do it with no motivation whatsoever. They're going to be like, they're going to know, like, oh, like, boom, I got to call off of work, whoop, doop, I got to go vote. They're just going to know. It's going to be second nature because they know what they have to do. It's just, that's what we need to get people to know, that I have to. We, like, trying to jump on a wave of motivation is we just going to keep getting the same results. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like people need to feel, pun not intended, feel the pain. You know, like when I think about Dr. King, and I think about, you know, the civil rights movement, there was, you know, there was a way of life that was, you know, for a lot of people, unbearable. Mm-hmm. Whereas now we've got these comforts, and we're creatures of comforts, and we're, you know, we're conditioned to be comfortable. And the, you know, I look at, you know, a possible upside to what's about to go down is that it gets so bad, right?
That everybody has so much pain that they're motivated, yeah, disciplined,
they,
and everything.
They get that fire again.
Yeah.
Because now we can, you know, we can sit anywhere on the bus. You know, we can go to any restaurant.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's got to be, you know, a lot more discomfort that it looks like we're going to find out soon, you know, a lot of what that is. I feel like that's, you know, I'm that's the only upside. Like I'm hoping.
Well, I will say this. Hopefully, you know, with my efforts and hopefully the rest of the educators' efforts, that it's almost inevitable we can kind of see a pain point coming, right? That's kind of just where the economy looked like it's headed. We don't know. But hopefully in conjunction with that, different than in the past, we actually are not just going to fight for a specific thing or a specific law to change, but we actually are educated because, you know, we can prevent a lot of BS from happening in the first place if we know earlier. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I hope that in the midst of the pain, there's also education and not just passion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself as a community leader?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. You know, even outside of the political space, that's just kind of like my job, you know what I mean? And music as a whole, like,
yeah,
my catalog is, you know, it's passion points, but it's information.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah, it's appreciate heavy. It.
What, outside of the politics part, what drives you? Because all your messages are heavy.
Thank you.
What drives you in terms of, like, is it that you feel a certain responsibility to the community in terms of your subject matter? You know, you talk about Christianity. You know, I love the piece about Thanksgiving. Like, you drop a lot of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And is that because you feel a responsibility to the community to spread those messages?
Now I do. I will say, initially, music was therapy for me. I started rapping very, very young, you know, and it was like my only kind of outlet. I think once people kind of caught on to what it was that I was doing, as me just, you know, chasing my dream and releasing my emotions on videos and songs, I started to realize that there are, you know, millions of people who experience the same exact things that I experienced. And, you know, maybe at this point, my pain points are other people's pain points. So let me continue to give them my pain points, and hopefully my healing journey, you know, transpires to other people. But what drives me, period, is, you know, like I said, I come from a dying city. I come from a very big family, like 16 people deep in the house. So a lot of my songs don't even be like for the world. They be for the people that I grew up with. Like there's songs that I've made, you know, obviously I can't name which songs that just are so emotional. And it's like, I was just trying to show my sister this before this happened again. You know what I'm saying? Or I was just trying to show my brother this. Or I was trying to, you know what I mean? And there's just a lot of other people. When I made My Vote Don't Count, I was so upset about, I was so upset about me being a black man in America and being in a city where I pride myself on being a contributor, you know, to the community, you know, internally. You know, I'm not like a boasty person, but I pride myself in these things. And it's something as simple as voting that, you know, I could have taught my people that I didn't even know and I thought wasn't even important. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was just boots on the ground, you know, making direct contributions. But no, it's like everybody can make a contribution. And I made My Vote Don't Count for the city of Dayton. You know what I'm saying? I had a follow-up ready. I was like, I don't want to get pigeonholed, stuck in this political stuff. Yeah. I made that song. I had a banger ready. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even drop it because the song got so big. I didn't expect to be on Oprah and Steve Harvey with that song. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that was like, all right, get that out the way. But, you know, but I think that's just kind of how it happens is, you know, I express my pain. And people pick it up.
Hey, comrades, if you are enjoying the episode, join the conversation. Like, subscribe, leave a comment below. Don't get yourself blocked. Keep it clean.
You know, I've seen a lot of social experiments gone wrong in classrooms where the teacher will say, hey, you know what? We're going to learn about slavery. All the blacks over here, all the whites. I mean, that's the wrong way to do it, obviously. And then they get, you know, sanctioned and kicked off, you know, being a teacher. But when you think about being 5 years old or 8 years old, how do you teach someone at that age about the differences and racism and things that are going on that should motivate everybody to vote and be a contributing member to this society? Mm-hmm. How do you think that that could take place?
I think they just have to know how the system works. I think because once you understand that voting is so foundational to everyday life, you kind of know that it's your civic duty to do it anyway. It becomes a thing where if I don't contribute, then I'm accepting whatever comes. And it's not just in an economic space or in a racism space. It's in so many, every space, you know what I mean? In a television space, in criminal justice, you know, everybody, people got cousins that's locked up that took the street route or, you know what I'm saying? They just now legalizing marijuana, but you got people still, you know what I'm saying, doing 30 years for that from years ago, you know what I mean? That they got, hopefully they get free because of the laws changing. But, you know, it's probably a new marijuana right now. You know what I'm saying? Not literally, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Something that's in that is being over-criminalized. You know what I'm saying? So I think once they understand how the system works and this is why that occurs and that's why that occurs and this is why they took this out to school and this is why, you know what I'm saying, your mom went to jail or this is why, then the kids are like, oh, okay, well, I have to vote. They'll know. But they have to learn, you know, early on so that they know that that's their civic duty. And I think that's never been done before is where kids grew up in an actual education system, knowing how not forget politics, but we're talking about so many different spaces like financial literacy. And, you know, like we're not learning things that's actually going to be you know, that's going to be transformational to our communities and to our everyday lives. So I think we got to start teaching a lot of stuff way earlier, credit scores and taxes. And you know what I'm saying? Because we growing up in a system and learning basics that are not even actually basics. You know what I'm saying? And then we going out into the world and figuring it out the hard way. You know what I mean? So hopefully, not hopefully, we doing the work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's go back. I'm going to go back to, you know, childhood, you know, early teens.
Yeah.
What kept you on your path? What put you on your path as opposed to, being influenced by all of the things that young people are influenced?
Yeah. I mean, of course I was influenced by those things as well, but, I will say I was delusional, right? I don't know necessarily where the delusion came from, but I just was like, I'm gonna be a famous rapper. Like I was like very, very young with that understanding. So a lot of things that, you know, came my way, like, you know, whatever I was going through, like I'll put my headphones and block it out. I'm like, none of this matter because I'm gonna be a famous rapper. The delusion worked in my benefit because it actually happened. You know what I mean? So that's, I can attribute that to, you know, having a family who said you could be anything you want to be. You know what I mean? My grandmother told me that. She used to always call me a genius, you know what I'm saying? And I also had a talent for it, you know what I'm saying? But it was a lot of naysayers and stuff. But I think just the delusion and like, hey, I'm going to do this. It kind of kept me in that linear pathway, you know what I mean? Yeah, kept me from crashing out.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, a lot of people, they get a taste of fame and they crash out. Because I love, you know, one of my favorite lines from Jay-Z is fame is the worst drug known to man.
I agree with that 1,000%.
So are you, so it seems like, you know, your passion for the community, your passion for spreading your messages keeps you on a certain path where you get that it's bigger than just being.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so music creation in itself is what kept me out of trouble. Like I was passionate about the creation of music itself. My passion for the community lets me know that the music, that it's bigger than the music, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to get in no crazy trouble because, you know, like, I'm focused on my actual career, you know what I'm saying? But beyond that, like, it's bigger than me now, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't bigger than me at first, you know what I'm saying? It was just about me becoming this successful guy. But I think now that I fully understand, now that my family can depend on me, now that I see, like, hey, you know, like, there are people all over the world that resonate with the things that I'm saying. And if I don't say it, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, if I don't say it, if I don't do it, then who will? And when you can't pinpoint or identify that other person, it's like, I cannot just be walking around with this information, with this influence, with the potential to change my community, with the potential to influence my siblings, my, you know what I'm saying, people in a whole nother country and just be like, you know, I'm gonna focus on me. I can't. It's like, until I die, I have to. It's like, God allowed me to be aware in that way. You know what I mean? So I have to, you know what I mean?
You found your calling.
You could say that, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think we learn a lot from international politics.
Yeah.
You've traveled.
Mm-hmm.
Do you bring some of that back to, you know, people's understanding about what it means to be in America versus another country and kind of the pride that one should have? Because we have built this up. We were talking about that at the beginning of this, that we've built this up.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of your message to kind of share with people that, you know, we own this.
Yeah, it hasn't been. You know, I think that's a good point, you know, but more so than that is like we're here. You know what I'm saying? We have to be here. So with that being said, you know, let's not let it control us. Like, let's control it. The government is decided by the people. You know what I'm saying? The people are not decided by the government. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be, you know, we have to understand our duty.
Yeah.
In it all, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So I have I constantly talk about my fractured relationship with hip hop, right? And you know, we're bombarded with so much of the bullshit, which is one of the reasons why I really rock with you.
Appreciate you.
I love not just the skill set, but I love your content.
My dog.
And I try to be aware of. Instead of putting so much energy into the stuff I don't like about hip hop, I want to, you know, be more proactive about going after things that that move me and you know, like yourself. And then I want to be able to expose that to other people, and I want to be able to look at, you know, parts of hip hop that, you know, keep me inspired and keep my love for hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Who should I be listening to now?
Oh, that's a good question. Me?
I think I know what he's
going to
say.
Yeah. Tap in, man. We dropping the video.
I'm already in on Yellow Page.
Yeah,
who are you listening to?
Me. You could go there, you know what I'm saying? When I do play music, I still play the old joints, you know what I'm saying? I listen to new music for the sake of making sure that I'm not out of touch with the sound, you know what I mean? But I don't know too many new cats that are, like, messaging-wise, I can take that in and it'd be healthy, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of crazy right now, the state of hip-hop. I mean, you got some new cats, but it's a lot of... They own one, you know. They own one. Yeah.
Who were your influences?
My favorite rapper is Meek Mill. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Bigger than that, I'm a student of the game for real. You know what I'm saying? I kind of take some from everybody. So you know, different people for different reasons. Like you got like Papoose, Nas, and let's say even Eminem. And that's just like for like technicality and the word structure. And then you got the KRS-Ones and the different people for the positive messaging. And, you know, so it was like bits and pieces from so many different artists. And then you got like Cassidy for the punchlines. I was like, I had a long Cassidy phase. So, and that's in hip hop. I listen to all kind of music too. So I'm kind of all over the place for real. I love music.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I love the end result. I love the fruits of your labor.
Yeah, I'm saying, but yeah. When it comes to and I always encourage artists to do this too, right? This is just like my advice to artists. Sometimes what inspires you is not necessarily what you're good at, right? You know what I mean? So the music that I put out, you wouldn't know that I listen to like Black Youngster and T Grizzly. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't know. Like, it's like, you know, just because you like this music, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's how you're supposed to do it, because your God-given talent might be completely polar opposite to what you intake. You know what I mean? So for artists, just when you find you, you know what I'm saying? Don't chase what you like. Chase what you're good at. You know what I mean?
Word. Yeah. How about that?
You know what I'm getting from you?
What's that?
That the way you were exposed to music, hip-hop, rap, that had you been exposed to politics on the same level, that it probably would have gotten to you in the same way?
Possibly.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm thinking about that exposure, that level of exposure that you had, it was just all over, you know? And if we think about politics in the same way, if we would just have that same level of getting to people to understand, the same way you were putting those headphones on, like, I'm going to be a rapper.
Right. I'm
going to be a politician.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on school board. Yeah. Right. You know, you were rocking with that instead of, you know, being a rapper. But those same types of the mediums that got to you, it seems like those are the same channels that you are using right now to spread the message. It's like all making sense now. It makes sense that, you know, you are finding that God-given talent that you have and you are using it for something really good, because you know what it takes. It's the same way they got to you in terms of where you want to be and are now as a rapper.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I think the packaging is important for sure. You know, rap is always like one of the coolest things ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, what young dude don't want a whole bunch of girls, some money, and nice cars? Like, you know, that's kind of like how it's packaged. You know,
what old dude doesn't want money and cars and girls?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, maybe if we find, not directly in that way, but find cooler ways to package civic engagement and other things like that, then, you know, those incentives might make somebody want to be, you know, a politician. I would encourage, maybe, I actually have heard stories of like politicians like really being like cool guys. Like, that'd be dope. Like, if you had like a, you know, a 25-year-old politician taking his actual check and, you know, and doing it in a way that make him look and feel like a rapper. Like, what do you do for a living? I'm the mayor. Like,
right. That'd be hard. You know, that would be the language that we're talking
about.
That'd be dope. Politician in you anywhere?
Huh?
I'm sure that it has crossed your mind, and when it has, what has been the conversation with yourself or other people?
With myself, I think I've said it before with people too, is just, I personally believe that anytime you take a job that where other people are depending on you to make decisions, you have to be able to do that to the highest capacity. You know what I mean? And with me actually being a rapper, actually having shows and events, actually creating songs, to actually focus on my job, I would need to kind of relieve myself of some of those other obligations. So if I ever did personally be in politics, it would be probably later in life where I wasn't aggressively pursuing music or aggressively pursuing the education space or whatever other ventures and things God called me to do, motivational speaking, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? So if I ever do politics, it'd be when I'm more free. But right now, I'm trying to inspire the next politicians more so than become one.
Hey, comrades. Come join us on our Patreon page.
Where you can get behind-the-scenes footage, discounts on merchandise.